Howdy, moviegoers, and welcome to another edition of Review Fix at the Cinema. My name is Patrick Hickey Jr., editor-in-chief of ReviewFix.com, joined by
Nick Valente, or as others call me, Pasquale Di Francesco.
Staff writer of ReviewFix.com, and today, unfortunately, we will be discussing what the fuck is the name of this movie?
The Edge of Sleep.
Edge of what? What is this?
The Edge of Darkness, starring Mel Gibson.
Edge of Darkness. Like, everything about this movie is forgettable. Like, just, it takes about 45 minutes just to get anywhere, and it's just, it's horrible. I mean, I've seen about 20 movies in the past 2 weeks coming back from Sundance, and I was really looking forward to coming back and seeing some good stuff, and after Shutter Island and this, I'm just, I actually feel like watching Avatar again. That's how bad.
It's been a bad streak, huh?
It's been a bad streak. So let's talk about why this movie is so bad, Nick Weiss.
Well, I would say, I guess, it was kind of a weak plot. You know, we've seen this all before.
You shoot my daughter.
Yeah, right? Hey, throughout the whole movie. it's like, you know, it's kind of, it was more like, reminding me a bit of Taken, but, like, I guess a crappier version of it.
It's like a Payless Shoe Source version of Taken.
Yeah.
Instead of, I have a certain set of skills.
You get,
you shoot my
you
data.
Shoot my data?
It's
bang,
a cricket.
Bang,
bang.
Say my name.
Yeah.
Like, are they about to have sex? I thought he was Christian. He was against that.
Well, he had that little quote in the movie, yeah, you're banging on the nails or you're hanging on the cross.
Yeah.
So they had that Catholic reference in there.
I mean, Mel Gibson is like an ass-kicking machine in this movie. But,
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, he does, he kicks ass, he takes names, but I mean, at times I thought, like, is that, he portrayed the Boston accent okay, but yeah. At times, in the theater, like, we said to each other, like, do we miss something here? Like, I guess I kind of misunderstood him a bit, like, in a few scenes.
Yeah, just the script writing just...
Yeah, it wasn't too good.
There's that whole other, like, subplot with, like, the English guy.
Right, yeah, and then, like...
It doesn't make any sense.
Like, as the movie was flowing, I mean, it was like... What we saw in the trailer is basically what the movie was, like, the high point.
Yeah, the best parts of the movie were in the trailer, and it's proving, slowly but surely, I mean, in order to make money from a movie in Hollywood, all you have to do is have a good, like, 40-second trailer, and dumbasses like us will go and see the movie.
Well, we have no choice.
Yeah. But,
And you have to think, too, he's, speaking of Mel Gibson, he plays a Boston detective, you know, with his daughter,
Craven.
Yeah, Craven. Thomas Craven.
Craven.
Good name.
Yeah.
His daughter, like, mysteriously gets sick.
She's pretty hot, too.
Yeah. something with the milk. That's an important part in the movie. I won't give it away.
Don't drink the milk. That's all I say.
And she starts throwing up, bleeding from the nose, and, you know, you figure something's up. So, the beginning, that was pretty cool. You know, starts the movie off okay. But then from there... You know, I guess it's the starting point to the movie. It's where he gets his, wants to go for revenge, get vengeance. But then it just, it's kind of slow. Like, picks up slowly, and then it's drag on. And then when the good points come, like I said, it's from the trailer. Like, some scenes that'll have you jumping. Like, saying, oh, wow, look at that.
Yeah, like, a lot of the death scenes reminded me out of stuff from, like, Final Destination.
Yeah, it was similar to that, which was just kind of a corny... corny part of the film.
Yeah, again, too, it's just like I'm just really sick of films just being so derivative. They just steal, and it's like Book of Eli.
Right.
Just stole so much shit from video games and from graphic novels and things like that.
Right.
And this, I mean, stole elements from Taken, from maybe even you could say like The Bourne Identity.
Yeah.
You know, man.
And what I don't get is, like, it was a bit unrealistic as well, because he's going out, to all these people, I guess, who evolved. It was like a kind of a government thing.
Hey, government cover-up.
Yeah, a government cover-up. And, I guess you need a warrant to go, he goes to the daughter's...
Get way out of your jurisdiction.
Yeah.
Yeah, like...
He knocks on the door, he just breaks in. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You gotta get a warrant.
Totally not realistic. You know what, too? You know what I noticed? There's one scene where, remember these two guys that, these two, like, hitmen that are protecting the main bad guy, they're following him.
Right.
So he ends up, he knows that he's being followed, so he parks and he goes into a bathroom. He knocks out the windows, which are cemented in, and goes back around the other way and gets back into his car, which I thought was pretty cool. But then he drives for a couple miles, and then he just so happens to run into, like, the main bad guy.
Oh, yeah, that was another thing. When he was kicking the window, too, it's like he was kicking ice cubes. I'm sorry. You're not kicking a window
that
easily.
Yeah, you're not kicking that window in, yeah. But the whole thing was, he just got in his car and ended up driving and pulls over the guy, the main bad guy, and asks him, how does that feel?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, how did that happen?
Yeah. I mean, I was sleeping like maybe 5 minutes before that part, so I probably lost something there.
I almost fell asleep 2 or 3 times, and I was just like, what the... Like, I saw 2 movies in particular during Sundance that I just thought... One was overtly graphic,
right. That
just wasn't like my cup of tea, mm-hmm. And like I was trying really hard to stay locked in, and I almost fell asleep. Then I saw this documentary, His and Hers, that I really didn't like, and again, I was trying really hard to stay locked in, and... I almost fell asleep. This movie, if I didn't have to review this movie and I didn't have to do this podcast right now, I would have fell asleep during that movie. It was that bad.
Yeah. I mean, you expected a lot more. I mean, but, you know, even, like, as the movie went on, like, everything got put together, it wasn't, like, really a big a twist or nothing exciting or, like, something unexpected that happened. It just came out to be just plain boring and... Yeah, just I guess to me it felt like a movie that, you know what, just make it for the heck of it. Here's a script, here's a little weak plot line. Yeah, go with this. Here you go. And that's how they did it. They just put it together.
Yeah, I don't think it's anything that anyone that is into.
Yeah, it's like too unoriginal.
Yeah, it's been seen before. Like I said, perfect word to describe it is like derivative. It's just been it's been taken from other places before, and. The most part too, aside from like the bad guys, like no one is like helping Mel Gibson. He's just a one man ass kicking machine.
Yeah,
he's just not. He's not as charismatic as he used to be.
Right. Yeah, he's kind of like the Lone Cop vigilante. Like,
yeah,
it's like we've seen it before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, maybe it could be Rust. You know, he's been off. He hasn't been acting in about 8 years. I mean, he's directed, which I would say he's a really good director.
Yeah.
Maybe if he would have took part in directing this movie, probably would have turned out better. But my guess, it's not his style of directing. He's more like that. Stuff with
he's more into like epics.
Yeah, epics and stuff like
that. You know, Passion of the Christ and like Apocalypto. There's just so much. Yeah,
with the tribes and stuff like that.
This, I mean, that's the thing with those movies, Passion of the Christ and Apocalypto. They're saying something,
right?
You know, and you may argue. Message. You may argue with what they're saying, but they're at least trying to say something.
Oh like, yeah.
I don't know what this movie is trying to say aside from the fact that don't drink the milk and Craven.
Right.
Craven!
I would also
Craven!
Say,
like, it's just so annoying. Like, that's...
Like I said, maybe if Scorsese, like, took a part in directing the movie, because he was into those, I guess, now you see with The Departed and with Shutter Island, like, he's got those Boston... You know, those Boston themes involved. So
absolutely.
Maybe with this one, you know, if he was behind the camera, maybe he had a... Nice.
Think about it too.
Spice it up a bit.
A lot of the things that Scorsese's famous for, just maintaining solid cinematography throughout, maintaining kind of like an ambiance, having a great score.
Right.
This film does not have.
No, it doesn't.
What music? There's no music in this movie at all.
No, just like dead air. You know?
And like he's traveling like all over Boston, and you don't really get. You never get that feeling that they're traveling all over Boston. Like, in typical Scorsese films, like, when people are, like, traveling places, you get the idea. You feel like you're on a journey with these characters.
Right.
You know, and the thing is, you feel compelled to watch them, and you feel like you're in their shoes. And this, I mean, you're just watching Mel Gibson, and it's, like, it's really...
Right, and I noticed,
hard
too,
to care.
With the jump cuts, you know, as it goes from scene to scene, like, in the beginning, it's very slow, but then I noticed, like, a few of the scenes, like, they didn't really, you know, intertwine, like, to make sense, you know, they would just jump,
continuity,
it just doesn't have that flow, and, you know, I guess it kind of makes it a bit weak.
I think it just tries to be shocking, like, there's that one scene where you see the guy and he's watching TV, and then you find out later that he has passed.
Right, right.
And it's trying to be shocking, and it just...
And then you have a whole thing with Mel Gibson. And like, I guess he's like always visioning his daughter and stuff like that. That was alright, we've seen it once. He has those illusions of her.
Yeah, he hears her voice.
Yeah, he hears her voice. Okay, you didn't want to go with that, but I don't know. After a while, it gets kind of played out.
Yeah,
like, you get tired of it.
It's just not. It's not entertaining, and that's the bottom line. Like, when you see a guy going like a one man ass kicking rampage like this, like, perfect example, something like Dirty Harry. You want to see that there's, like, a method to his madness almost, and, like, Mel Gibson is just doing whatever he wants when he wants. There's like no means to an end. Like he wants these guys to pay, but at the same time, it's not entertaining at all. It's just it's boring. And the thing I think that ruins this film, I don't think it's overall it's Gibson's performance, because his performance overall isn't horrible. But this guy, who is this jerk off that plays the bad guy in this movie? He's horrible. Did you see towards the end he has like this kind of like Scarface like bathrobe on and like the gold chain? Doesn't he look like somebody from like 18th Avenue? That you know, like some guy going to pick up his newspaper on like 65th Street and 18th Avenue? Yeah, you know, like
by the fish market.
Yeah, this like leopard print kind of thing, and I'm like, what the? This is supposed to be like this guy that's in charge of this billion-dollar company that has all these government officials like at his whim. This is how he dresses at night. Like,
oh, man.
What? This is ridiculous. And just the other two guys that were like his main two henchmen,
right?
They went down way too easy, as far as I'm concerned. That's like, true. They went down like flies, and it just ruins any type of like climax the film could have had.
It was kind of like they were rushing the end, you know? It's like, you know, just get this over with and let's just move on. Yeah, you know, put this,
I don't know.
Just wrap it up, you know? That's what it seemed to me like what they were trying to do.
And the whole subplot you have going on with this English like problem solver.
Right. And meanwhile, he went down a little way too easy as well.
He went down way too easy. And then like the whole thing is,
it was the stupidest way he could have went out possible, even in the, I guess his lines as well, that involved.
He's supposed to be helping the bad guys take down Mel Gibson, but instead he ends up striking like a friendship that's never like truly explained. Yes, he says something like, "I've never had a daughter, but I know what it's like not to have one." The people involved in the booze, eating crumpets, and you're like, but you're being paid millions of dollars to kill this guy and to take care of this guy. Why are you having conversations with him?
Right.
Why? It's like they were like two old school like war buddies.
Yeah.
And it didn't make any sense.
Yeah, no, that's very true.
So, and that guy wasn't a bad actor either.
He wasn't. Yeah, I guess he did okay.
Oh, you know, I have no daughter, blah, 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 blah. And you're like, no. This is just too much. It just doesn't make any sense at all. It's not the least bit entertaining at all.
I'm like, some of the fight scenes are pretty cool. Like I said, Mel Gibson kicks ass in this movie.
Yeah, no, he does.
But, it's just not enough. This film just needs so much more.
Oh, right, yeah. So, it definitely does. It's like a painting that's not finished.
Man, it's just basically like a background.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, you never really find out what happens to Mel Gibson's wife in the movie.
That's true.
It's just him and the daughter.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe if you could kind of, like, you know he loves his daughter and he's doing all this for her, but they could add a little bit more backstory.
Right.
That would have kind of maybe filled things out a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And then, the way the movie started with, like, the three dead bodies coming up, you're kind of like, all right, what's going on here?
Right, that doesn't really get explained
as much.
And
they explain it, but it's just, there's just something missing from this film. It's just kind of like when you're a little kid, and, like, you have a brownie after, like, hanging out, and then, like, you're like, something's missing.
Yeah.
And then you realize, you're like, I should have had something to drink, so now I got chocolate stuck in my mouth. And this film, that's what it basically does. It's like, you watch it, and you leave the theater just like you got something caught in your throat, and you just want
to
scream
to
in disgust, and you have nothing to wash this disgusting concoction down, you know?
Oh, boy.
So, anything else that you want to say?
No, that's about it. You know, it just it wasn't what I expected. I expect a lot more. And, unfortunately, Mel Gibson, he's like a god, you know?
He's a great actor.
You know, the Braveheart.
Patriot.
Yeah,
Lethal
Weapon.
Lethal
Rakes, you know?
Yeah.
So, I guess Craven doesn't cut it.
I mean, January is usually referred to as like the dumping point for movies. Like movies that can't cut like the cinematic mustard.
Right.
Are usually released like at the end of January or at some point during January.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in between, you know, the spring blockbusters, the summer blockbusters, and like the end of the year buzz that like those last films that go in for like Academy Award recognition. And this films like this, if they continue being released during January, is not going to change that motif.
January
is going to continue to be a dumping ground for horrible films that should not be released. And you know what? Bottom line, this isn't
kind of like a waste, you know? These films, just put them out there and
absolutely
hope for the best. But, you know, you know what to expect. Most likely nothing.
Like, this isn't a horrible film, but it's not good.
Yeah.
It doesn't do anything well. And it, again, like, you made a great point before, but you were just saying, like, it feels like they just wanted to throw Mel Gibson on a movie poster and give him, like, 90 minutes to, like, do his thing.
Right.
But the script, I mean, I don't know who wrote it, but the script just wasn't solid. Whoever directed this movie, it's just lacking luster.
It was actually the director from, what was it, the first Bond film with the new,
Oh, Quantum of Solace?
Yeah, the one before that.
Okay.
Is that Quantum of Solace?
I think it was Quantum of Solace.
The one with the poker game?
I think so. I'm not sure. That wasn't a bad movie, though.
Yeah, that was actually pretty good.
So, I guess he got the sophomore jinx. But overall, this is just not a good movie. So, I mean, this movie, the only thing this movie did was make me, like, not want to drink milk for a couple of days. So, yeah, that's... We're not going to give away anything. But, yes, we're not going to give away anything, but we'll just tell you, stay out of the fridge.
Yeah.
Don't drink the milk. And while you're at it, just...
Oh, Casino Royale, I'm sorry.
Casino Royale, there you go.
For Casino Royale.
Just stay away from this movie. So, for Patrick Hickey Jr., Editor-in-Chief, ReviewFix.com, and...
I'm Nick Valenti.
Staff Writer, ReviewFix.com, we'll... catch you away from the fridge.
All right.